From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 25th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. Also here in Columbia...
Alert, live lead, taping alert.
October 30th, yes, here in studio in Columbia, 6 p.m., we will be having our live pre-election show taping. Now that begins at 6:30, but come at 6, it's free, there will be swag, you can meet us, you can ask questions, and yes, we'll have some food and some drink. This, like I said, will be our pre-election show featuring Friends of the Pod, Meg Kennard with the Associated Press, and Mayon Schechter with South Carolina Public Radio.
Get out of here!
Come see us October 30th at 6 p.m. You must RSVP, even though it's free, at southcarolinapublicradio.org/livelead, LIVELED. On this episode of the LEDE, we hear from the voters who have driven record early voting turnout this week. We also catch up with State Election Commission Director Howard Knapp, Howie DeFriends, about the turnout, election security, and a few bubbling concerns. Our two Republican senators were campaigning for former President Donald Trump this week, and it comes while Trump has been labeled a fascist by his former chief of staff, a claim more than a dozen former high-level staffers support. Those are their words, guys. That's what you're going to hear in a moment. Now, the lead loves to hear your words. Aww. Yes. 803-563-7169 is how I hear you. Y-O-U. L-E-D-E. Y-O-U. M-E. Okay, guys, give us a shout. We want to hear from you in the wind-down section. Halloween is upon us. Spooky season is spooking. We are days away from one of the most consequential elections in your lifetime, which is what they say every time. But yes, this one is true. 803-563-7169. First week of early voting for the 2024 general election is in the books, and as of our taping, data for the first 4 days of the week show that more than 511,000 folks have already cast their ballots,
data.
With a record 128,803 voting on Wednesday. Hello to the three, which was the peak of the week after steadily climbing, and now it's plateauing. Not bad, it's okay, peak of the week. Now, I traveled around our beautiful state, so beautiful, fields of amber, ways of grain, and spoke with people like you and me who wanted to speak with me. I know there's a lot of apprehension, a lot of anxiety. You don't have to talk to me if you see me. You're free to leave whenever you want, okay? But some did, including Tammy and Darren Williams, who are Kershaw County voters that I spoke to in Camden.
Because this election is so important, we have 3 grown children and we have 1 granddaughter that's 4. And we want her to be able to make choices for her body and choices for everything. And all our children, we want them to live in a country that's free and for them. So it's very important for us, for them to have the life that we worked so hard for them to have. And we're both veterans, so we fought in war, in the Gulf War, and he's fought in 2 wars. And we feel like our country owe us that because we don't did what we supposed to for our country. I wish that my mother was here. I wish that my grandmother was here to see that. It's the same as when Obama, because we don't ever think that it happened for us.
One of the busiest locations in the Midlands was in Lexington County at the voter registration office. And honestly, one of my favorite places to talk to voters. There is a cross-section of voters in this Republican-leaning county, but that doesn't mean there aren't Democrats there, too. The good thing, though, is that everyone walks out of the same door after they voted, and that's where they see my smiling face, including Renee Hewlin, a 64-year-old retired postal worker who had this to say when I asked her about any potential black male enthusiasm gap for Vice President Kamala Harris, who she voted for.
Let me tell you something, and I'm going to put it as simple as I can. Most people that have a grandma would tell you their grandma ran that house, and she ran it with respect and dignity. And I believe Kamala gonna do the same. I have no doubt in my mind that she's gonna put a lot into it, but I think we're gonna see some huge change for our community. She don't care whether you're black, white, Puerto Rican, or whatever. She don't care. Her thing is, let's do it right. And that's what I want. I just want the right thing done. I don't want you up there talking about, oh, I'm rich as hell. You know, well, I'm like this other guy. I ain't rich as hell. But at the same token, what you keep talking about you rich as hell, but what you doing for the country? Nothing. But lining you and your family up financially.
Also in Lexington were father and son duo Joseph Nelson Sr. and Joseph Nelson Jr. And we open with Jr. speaking about voting for Trump, and then you hear Joseph Nelson Sr., who retired from working on the railroads up in New York.
Donald Trump. Trump. No question.
You want to tell me what motivated you, I suppose?
Because the country's gone to shit since he's left office, put simply. Plus, Kamala Harris is just pandering. She wasn't elected, she was selected. And that's not democracy. Who are they kidding?
Basically, people voting in this election are either going to be voting for Trump or against him. Nobody is voting for Kamala, meaning that nobody would vote for her on her own attributes, because she has none. Ask somebody to make a case for voting for her without mentioning Trump. They can't do it.
Yeah. They really,
and
really can't.
Being the opposition, generally is not a good... a good way to vote. Or it worked 4 years ago. Biden clearly won the election because he wasn't Trump. People who were angry about Trump being president, but at the same time weren't particularly happy about Hillary Clinton 4 years earlier, so they just didn't show up to vote, realized you really do have to get out. You can't depend on her real supporters to have this. So we're going to see a robust turnout this year. That means America wins the election, regardless of who the actual winner is, because we're participating. There was a time that I considered myself a conservative Democrat because I believed more in a democratic form of government than a Republican. But my views have shifted a bit on that much, and I now consider myself a steadfast Republican.
Elizabeth Timms, a 55-year-old molecular biologist who took her 79-year-old mother to vote, said she is an independent voter, but is worried by Trump's rhetoric and said women have fewer rights now than they did years before, which is why she cast her ballot all for Democrats.
People want to call this over economy and budgets and those kinds of things, and it's not just that. It's about who we want to be in the end. So our democracy was challenged. I mean, this is my uncle's fault for democracy. My one uncle was a POW in Korea. I'm not going to let that just go to waste because somebody wants to be a dictator. Oh, I've voted Republican in the past, and Republicans should have followed the Democratic lead. He's way too old. Last election, everybody was claiming that Biden was way too old. Trump is older than Biden was. If the Republicans had chosen someone younger, someone willing to come out and fight, then yeah. I mean, I am the independent. I'm fiscally conservative, socially liberal. Come on, I am that independent vote. Because people want to talk about abortion. And look, nobody wants abortion, uses birth control. No one. But there is healthcare involved in this. You know, biology goes wrong. And so, yeah, we want to make sure that women are protected. They can try again. Let's, you know, bring up IVF. I mean, I wish biology didn't go wrong, but there are times that it does. So yes, that is a part of this. Women now have less rights than we did years ago. Roe v. Wade changed a lot of things, right? I mean, and this was the Supreme Court just deciding to change something. Why?
And John Derrick, a retired radio DJ, came up to me and spoke as well. Now, I noticed he was wearing two baseball hats, but I didn't say anything because when I'm working, I'm nice. And in fact, he later revealed the hat underneath the other one was his Make America Great hat. Now, folks, PSA here, you cannot wear any political clothes, hats, or pins, or anything to the polls. I've seen people try. You can't. That's illegal. Especially for my Law and Order crowd, that's illegal. But here is John.
I don't believe that illegal aliens should vote. And I think that's one thing the Democrats are trying to do. They're probably going to try to change the result of this election by allowing illegals to vote. Even though they're not legally entitled to do that, that's why they're called illegal aliens. But I came prepared for the voting process. Mm-hmm. I came wearing my MAGA hat, and the lady told me, I suspected that somebody would say, you cannot wear that hat. So I had my other hat underneath. But you can tell now for sure who I'm for. And I believe, I don't know, I'm rambling on, but I think Trump is the person to be the next president. The former president needs to be the next president of the United States, or we're not going to have a nation.
Trump and his allies have repeatedly, without proof, said that the Democrats are registering illegal aliens to vote. In fact, you just heard John say that. Trump sent out an email on Thursday with the subject line, quote, do not let illegal aliens vote, quote. And part of that fundraising email said, quote, Democrats are registering illegal voters by the tens of thousands as we speak. They will be voting in the 2024 presidential election, and they shouldn't be allowed to, quote. Again, complete misinformation here, and meant to sow doubt and muddy the waters, as well as set up legal fights post-election day, when misinformation will be flying once again like it did in 2020. Ask Fox News how that went, to the tune of $787 million in a settlement to Dominion. Remember Tucker Carlson? He used to be on Fox News. And Rudy Giuliani for defaming election workers who now own his penthouse in New York.
Oh!
That is what fake news looks and sounds like, folks. Nevertheless, there will be an onslaught of it, so please, please think and research before you spout off online or in person about something, you know, I heard something, or I saw, no, do not. But for more on this concern about non-citizen or illegal alien voting, as well as the record turnout we've been seeing, I spoke with our own State Election Commission Director, Howard Knapp, howie to friends, about this concern and other issues that have bubbled up this week.
People are turning out in droves to vote. I'm not surprised by the fact that we're having high participation, although the participation we're seeing this year is higher than any other year prior. It kind of proves what we've been saying for years, what's on the ballot drives turnout.
And so, Howie, when we look in 2020, going backwards, 2.5 million South Carolinians voted, or about 72% of participation rate. But in 2008, we saw the highest participation rate at 76% with 1.9 million folks voting. So are we going to be somewhere in the middle, do you think, or do you think we surpassed both of those metrics?
Not having a crystal ball, I think what I've been predicting is about 2.8 million voters, which would be approximately 75%. That's based on just historic trends and what we've been seeing the last few presidential elections. But I think 75%-ish is a good guess.
When we come to polls being closed November 5th at 7 p.m., will we get that data dropping immediately? I mean, I feel like last time, before, when we had heavier absentee voting, a lot of those ballots were able to be maybe processed earlier. Is that going to be the same case for these early votes?
So we instruct counties to start uploading their early voting numbers immediately, because those votes are, then that was one of the beauties of early voting, is the ballots are cast and tallied immediately. The results are not published and nobody knows the results, but they're on the results stick. So on election night, we train county officials, upload those results at 7 p.m. for early voting. And if you have absentee done, do that as well. It's going to be a longer process than usual, just by virtue of the massive amounts of data and how 2.8 million ballots to go through. That's a lot of data to upload and put on our website. So I'm hoping to see some results pour in around 8:30. I know the news will probably call results much quicker than
well,
we will.
Some races will be a little foregone conclusion.
That's true. I'm predicting, and we kind of have a little betting pool in our office, that results will be done probably early morning.
Again, when you're talking about results coming in later, and of course, South Carolina not being a swing state, not much pressure here, but of course we still want a strong, secure election. When people see those results trickle in, not only here, but across the country, what do you tell people when they're saying, why do we have to wait a day or so to get final numbers in here?
Well, hopefully we won't have to wait a day or two, but it takes time to get it right. Mm-hmm. And we're much more interested in getting it right the first time and accurate the first time than we are trying to be expedient about it.
So I want to continue to talk about election integrity. And we spoke with Attorney General Alan Wilson, who was on the show 2 weeks ago. And he said his office and yours asked the federal government for data to cross-reference with voter rolls and to purge them of any illegal voters, if there are any. And Wilson said that, quote, I cannot commit to you today that our elections are completely 100% secure in the sense that there aren't ways for people to get on the voter rolls who should not be on the voter rolls, quote. So what do you say to that? Is this a problem when it comes to illegal voters in South Carolina?
So General Wilson is right, and I've been very upfront about this ever since I was appointed. Our voter rolls are never 100% accurate, and not through any malfeasance or wrongdoing, but just because people will register today that weren't registered last night. People will unfortunately pass away today and will remain on the voter rolls until the Department of Public Health tells us they've passed away. The voter rolls are constantly changing. Not for this election, the books were closed 30 days ago, but General Wilson is right. My job, I have a mandate in state law to keep our voter rolls as accurate as possible. The immigration system, as courts have held, is a purely federal function. And to ensure that non-citizens are not on our voter rolls, I've asked the Department of Homeland Security to essentially take our voter rolls and just run it through your systems. Tell me, are there any known non-citizens in your systems on our voter rolls? And if there are, well, you know, remove them. And as I'm sure General Wilson said, they refused. Okay. And we'll see what happens after that. But, you know, we rely on state and federal partners to keep our voter list accurate. We were hoping Homeland Security would be one of those partners, but they have refused. But I do want to make the point, even if Homeland Security said yes and did what we asked them to do, we're not really addressing the concern that some people have that non-citizens who are crossing the Rio Grande, you know, who are just coming here illegally, this data is not going to capture that. I'm asking Homeland Security to tell us who has come through a port of entry on a visa legally, things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't suspect there are many, if any. But again, it's my job to ensure there aren't, and I need their help.
And just to elaborate on that before we move on, how could one person even do this? I mean, I even spoke with some voters who are fearful that the Democrats are trying to, you know, get a bunch of legal immigrants registered to vote. But how could a non-citizen even register to vote and then even cast a ballot?
There are so many safeguards in place that it's doubtful that they would. You would have to have, even if you registered by mail, which does not require an ID to do, you would have to present a photo ID at the polls in order to vote. We have never seen, we have had non-citizens on our voter rolls, but I have never seen an instance of a non-citizen actually voting in South Carolina. But this is really a preventative measure.
Again, you just heard Howard Knapp, Howie, say that no illegal aliens are thought to have voted here, let alone in any numbers that would sway the election. Pretty sure you can say that about all the other states as well, because we would have heard about it. Now watch that full interview on youtube.com/South Carolina ETV. Thank you. Now we got some more campaign trail hits for you. You may remember from our last episode that clip of Senator Lindsey Graham on NBC's Meet the Press from Sunday, where he called out Republicans for backing Harris as basically losing their minds.
To every Republican supporting her, what the hell are you doing? You're supporting the most radical nominee in the history of American politics.
One of the most prominent Republicans doing that is former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who is campaigning with Harris in multiple swing states, including Michigan, working to get those Nikki Haley Republicans to vote for Harris. When asked about Graham's comments by a moderator while on stage with Harris, Cheney said this on Monday.
Well, don't listen to Lindsey Graham, number one. It's good life advice, actually.
This came before a bombshell revelation in a New York Times interview made by Trump's former and longest-serving chief of staff, former General John Kelly, who said he believes Trump is a fascist and has also praised Adolf Hitler in front of him. Here's part of that audio interview with New York Times reporter Michael Schmidt and John Kelly.
Certainly, the former president is in the far-right area, certainly an authoritarian, admires people who are dictators. He has said that. So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure.
He would he commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things too. And of course, if you know history, again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
So what would you say when he said to you that Hitler did a lot of good things?
Well, I tell him that. I said, you know, first of all, you should never say that. But if you knew what Hitler was all about from the beginning to the end,
everything he did was in support of his racist, fascist philosophy, so that nothing he did, you could argue, was good. It was certainly not done for the right reason.
What would he say when you would lay that out to him?
He'd just, that'd be the end of the conversation, usually.
Politico reports that more than a dozen former Trump administration officials on Friday came out in support of Kelly, who went on the record this week, like we were saying, to say that the former president fits the definition of a fascist, would govern like a dictator, and has no concept of the Constitution. In a new letter shared exclusively with Politico, the former Trump administration officials stated, quote, "This is who Donald Trump is," quote, also saying, "The revelations General Kelly brought forward are disturbing and shocking, but because we know Trump and have worked for and alongside him, we were sadly not surprised by what General Kelly had to say," quote. Now, Kelly says that he felt compelled to speak out because of Trump's comments that he would use American troops against his political opponents. This is one of more than 100 disturbing statements that Trump has made to investigate, prosecute, imprison, or otherwise punish his perceived opponents, according to an NPR investigation. Not American. If you want more on that, I highly recommend the New York Times' The Daily episode on that interview involving Kelly and Trump. Now, Trump did post to Truth Social saying in part, quote, "John Kelly is a lowlife," all caps, "and a bad general whose advice in the White House I no longer sought," and told him, all caps, to move on. Kelly, a former four-star general, also served as Trump's Department of Homeland Security secretary and has said that the former president called U.S. troops who were wounded, killed, or captured, quote, "losers and suckers," quote. He also said Trump did not want to appear alongside veterans who were amputees. And Kelly's own son died when he stepped on a landmine in Afghanistan in 2010, so very personal to him. Senator Graham was on the trail in Michigan on Wednesday for the Trump campaign and spoke with leaders and residents of the majority Muslim communities in the suburbs of Detroit. That same day, he was on Fox News' The Story with Martha McCollum to warn that the biggest Satan in the world is Iran. He also weighed in on North Korea sending 3,000 troops to train with Russia, with a total expected to reach 12,000, and he hit back against those Trump-Hitler comparisons. Here's part of that interview.
Let me ask you about this story that made headlines today about Generals Kelly, Mattis, and Milley suggesting that President Trump, that the behavior they saw was fascist and that he is a danger to the country. Yeah. What do you say about it, and what do you say about their timing?
Number one, I appreciate their service to our country. I know General Kelly lost a son. I couldn't disagree more. I'm tired of the Hitler crap when it comes to Trump. The one and only Jewish state on the planet is Israel. Nobody's more popular in Israel than Donald Trump. He recognized Jerusalem as the legitimate capital of the state of Israel. He recognized the Golan Heights as part of Israel. There's been no better friend to the Jewish state. Hitler wanted to kill all the Jews, and Donald Trump is the best friend of the Jewish state. When President Trump was in office, we didn't invade other countries. We didn't try to destroy people. We didn't create concentration camps. We had the strongest military, and we had no wars. To these generals, you're entitled to your opinion, but I think you're dead wrong. I think you're completely wrong.
Now, I guess when you run out of convicts to sacrifice on the front lines of an illegal war, you have to send North Koreans. That's what Putin seems to be doing. Now, this disturbing move, however, solidifies the alliance between the two isolated countries that are also armed with nuclear weapons. Remember, they both signed a mutual defense pact over the summer. This is becoming a world war that Putin himself is escalating. This also comes as the United States and G7 countries near agreements to use a $50 billion loan from the profits of frozen Russian assets without seizing the assets to fund Ukraine. Newsweek reports that most of the assets are held within the EU, and some G7 nations have expressed concerns about the legality of using Russian funds. That's what the accountants are for, but we got plenty of money here, Putin, so thank you for that. Back to the trail we go. Senator Tim Scott, who has been on the campaign trail working to send Donald Trump back to the White House and elect a Republican Senate majority in 2024, well, he just wrapped up a campaign swing through Montana for U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. He was also on with Fox News' Sean Hannity this week talking about black men voting for Trump. Now, a University of Chicago poll of 2,359 eligible voters from 18 to 40 found that Trump had the support of 25% of black men compared to 2020, when it was just 10%. His standing with Latino men also increased 6 points to 44% from 2020. Here's Scott.
Sean, it is a great time to be Donald J. Trump. He is making record gains with African-American young men as well as Hispanic young men. Why? Sean, the answer is crystal clear. He has a record of success. Perhaps one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime for African-American issues, from college funding to low unemployment, high enthusiasm, wages growing faster at the bottom than the top. But he also focused on things like crime and sickle cell anemia, research helping to accelerate the path to cures. And at the exact same time, Democrats, Sean, are losing their minds because they're losing their voters. When Kamala Harris has said there's nothing she would change about the Biden years, that means that the average family, black or white, losing $1,000 a month in spending power, she wouldn't change that. Open borders, letting Venezuelan gangs in, as you talked about earlier, that's ravishing and devastating black poor communities. She wouldn't change any of that either. Crime destroys communities of color, and the poorest Americans feel it first. What would she do? Nothing.
And since we're talking about crime, I just want to say that Forbes reports that crime in the United States has fallen dramatically since 1993, after rising slightly during the pandemic, when Donald Trump was president, violent crime is falling again. In fact, in 2023, murders dropped by nearly 12% compared to the previous year. I know we have selective memory, but in 23 of 27 Gallup crime surveys conducted since the early 1990s, 60% or more of U.S. adults reported that there is more crime nationally than the year before. Like, guys, facts. Now, researchers have also repeatedly found that immigrants do not commit crimes at higher rates than non-native-born Americans. Oh, credible sources only. Now, Scott cast his ballot early on Tuesday in Hanahan and had this message to voters.
I think what we've seen all across the country is that people are voting, record numbers are voting early. Good news is here in Charleston, we're all voting early. I would encourage every single one, take advantage of the opportunity to come in person and vote if you can. This process, it expands the opportunity. It's here to stay. Take advantage of it. Do our responsibilities. Let's serve our nation all as citizens by voting early.
That's right, folks. Get out there and vote. You have another week of early voting and Election Day itself on November 5th, when I will be exclusively voting. Come prepared by checking out your sample ballot on scvotes.gov, and you can also find out those early voting locations there as well. Welcome to the wind down section. Our little break from the news. Just kidding. There's no break. We are full speed ahead through Election Day. T-Shire, producer of the Lead Podcast.
Yes, Gavin, thank you. I'm so glad you're embracing the 24-hour news cycle. And that's we are announcing this is going to be a 24-hour-long podcast.
Yes. Oh, yes. As we're doing it. I will be live streaming every minute. I'm just going to do it. I'm having a hard time keeping up with the news. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't blame you. It's pretty hectic right now.
I appreciate you sending me things because I miss some things. I'm like, oh my gosh, how much more is there?
Gavin finds the serious news, sends it to me. I find the stupidest news and I send it to him. where I do think that Gavin the glaring omission, not mentioning that Juggalos.
the
endorsed
critical,
Kamala Harris.
The critical, insane clown posse vote endorsement, as well as Eminem.
Yes, the Faygo drinkers of the world, they endorsed
Kamala. I guess if we were in one of those states that swing like that, we would have said something, but I can't keep up with all the endorsements either, nor are we going to the Beyonce concert.
Oh, sad, I know. But, Kevin, it would also be a glaring omission if we didn't get to our call. Okay?
Oh!
So, if you will allow me, please. I'll get to it. Please let me finish, okay? Allow me to finish, Gavin. Okay?
No, excuse me.
I have a call here, okay? Here we go. It's a friend of the pod. He called recently, and he's calling back. Okay, here we go.
Hey, guys. Correspondent Kevin here again. I guess I'm trying to make up for lost time, catch up with a few episodes and things like that. I am excited for early voting. It always makes me feel like a VIP. That stands for a very important person. Flashing back to a few episodes ago, I should say, it is okay to talk about national politics every now and then, even though it's the South Carolina podcast. Oddly enough, what happens at the national level affects the state level and vice versa sometimes. And a little factoid that can be fact-checked somewhere. We have roughly 90,000 governments in the United States, obviously the federal government, 50 state governments, and then everybody else is towns, special districts, counties, whatever. So depending on how you like your glass, half full or half empty, there's way too much oversight or so much oversight that there is no oversight. But yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Getting ready for fall. It's almost Halloween. So y'all be good again.
Correspondent Kevin, thank you for calling. Yes, there's so much national news, and I frankly cannot wait for us to pivot hard back to the legislature, which starts up in January.
We crave the legislature. We crave the small potatoes of South Carolina.
Really lean
politics.
Back into it all, yes. And there has been some stuff going on, off-season meetings, but frankly, this is where we're focused right now.
It's the most important election.
This is the most important election of your lifetime.
I'm pretty sure somebody said vote or die.
Is that quadrennial? Every 4 years? Is
quadrennial?
That quadrennial?
I have no idea. I don't know. That word sounds cursed. I don't like to say it.
I would prefer you not say it.
I prefer you not say it.
Regardless, like every 4 years, it's always. But mm-hmm. every election is an important election because you get to do your citizen's duty and vote. You get to uphold your rights. I mean, my gosh.
I do think that it is sadly true. I wish we could have a real snoozer of a laugher of a non-important
those
election,
are
but
bygone.
We don't have those.
Remember
ever.
Back when we were kids, the 90s? Can I speak of the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
And
go
if
off,
you're Gen
King.
Z, you can use this as fodder to pretend that you know about the 90s.
Yeah,
we'll let you do it, but like we all know you're not.
You digital
with
natives.
With your Kurt Cobain.
Oh, your ironic Nirvana shirt you bought at Target.
Yeah.
Ugh,
okay, enough
God.
Dunking, but we're going to continue to do it.
God.
I remember back in the 90s, no one seemed to care
mm-hmm.
as much about what was going on politically.
Maybe not for us.
I guess we were youth.
We were the youths.
We are just in this. Every move is something we have to fixate on.
I do think we
and
were
I get
lucky.
That's my job.
I do think it. You,
but
you,
like,
you do get
where's
paid
the
for
chill?
It. We were lucky that Twitter didn't exist during the Gulf War. We're lucky that it didn't exist during Kosovo and stuff like that.
Iraq,
you know, like
too.
Iraq. Yeah, like
9/11 would have been.
I honestly
messy.
am very pleased that it didn't. You know.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think that we live in a hell of our own making.
Yeah.
We can't escape our own desires to stare deep into the void of nothingness. You know how they found those Palantirs that speak to each other in Lord of the Rings and it drives people crazy? Maybe we shouldn't look at those places, okay?
I know. I was talking to a pastor recently for a piece that we're working on. Hopefully we can get it off the ground before
election day. A pastor piece?
A pastor piece.
Okay.
Youth pastor just telling me just how anxious the kids are.
Yeah, I don't blame
them.
And I
hate that. And even the kids who aren't online are still anxious. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to fix that, guys. A lot of it's social norms and social cues. So I say, you just got to get your kids socialized as soon as possible. Keep them around kids, adults, like, keep them talking.
You know,
yes, you can have some pad time.
Put it on.
You can have some pad time, but you got to go run around. You got to go do stuff.
I love pad time. I love pad
oh,
time.
It's cool. Oh, no, it's a Thai restaurant that I go to. Pad Thai.
Anyway, Gavin.
Have you ever had pad Thai? It's so unique.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I always get this one. It's called pad Thai.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, Gavin, we do need to end it. Speaking of the void that we are contributing
to. Oh, time to go back into it.
That's right. Let's dive headfirst into the nothingness.
Come see us in the void. October 30th, guys. Mm-hmm. Come on. We're going to be here in person.
Come commiserate
with us. Come see a person. Come talk to a person.
Commiserate with us. We all look at the same black screens that mirror our own
terrible
souls.
Why does it hurt so
souls?
Bad?
Anyway, Gavin, say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail like correspondent Kevin did at 803-563-7169. If you don't want to do that, well, you can always stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Can't put it at the end.
Put it at the end! I don't care. Put it at the end.
Put it at the end.
Oh, I wish we could. Oh, I wish we could.
Oh, I hate that I can't do this.
Oh, I wish we could. I'm so sorry.